after being in education all my life, I felt like I didn't know anything and I really wanted to explore the business world. And so I moved into media sales, which actually was an accident, but it was an accident that I think must have been meant to happen, because it's a very creative space where I'm working with marketing programs and integration of media programs for my clients who purchase that from me. So I'm selling, I'm head of brand partnerships now, actually. That's what I do. And I've been doing that for the 27 years. So teaching was a really great entry into that.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard.
Hello, and welcome to Property Investor Tales, tales from the front yard, where we get to speak with people across Australia about their property investing journey. My name is Vicky Hines, and I'm one of the coaches at Positive Real Estate, where I help people build wealth through property. With over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there are some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully will make your investing journey that little bit easier and will inspire you along the way. Today, I have the privilege of chatting with Tracy Dwyer. Tracy has been in the mentoring program since 2014, and I've asked her to come onto the podcast to share some of the experiences that she's had during her journey. Tracy has built a great portfolio and has always been an extremely active member. I remember her being a regular attendee to Melbourne Mentoring, which we used to do live pre-COVID, and she's continued to attend events both in person and online. As a result, she is amassed a wealth of knowledge as an investor and has built some wonderful investor muscle. I've asked Tracy to come along and share some of her acquired knowledge and some of the learnings that she's experienced, which should help both those starting out as well as those who are some way through their property journey. Enjoy this conversation between myself and Tracy. How are you, Tracy?
Hey, I'm good, thank you, Vicky. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming along today.
My pleasure.
Awesome. So we've known each other for a while now. For a number of years. You've been in the mentoring program since 2014, is that correct?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, so coming up for your 10th year in the program. I remember your face vividly from back in the day pre-COVID when we used to do mentoring sessions live in the Melbourne office. You were a regular attendee, as I was back then. You've continued to do that online. We've transitioned as a business, obviously, to more of an online format, and we deliver all of our content and we have our guest speakers all delivered online now. And I always see your name on the attendee box. Is that correct?
Correct.
So I've asked you to come on today because you've been in the program for so long and you've been such a regular attendee. I know you've acquired all of this knowledge over these years. You've amassed so much wisdom in the property space, and you've had learnings along the way that I know that many people would love to hear and would be able to get so much out of, whether they're at the beginning of their journey or whether they're halfway through. I think some of the learnings and the stories that you perhaps can share with them would be really, really insightful for them. So I'd love for you to share some of that with me today. Are you up for it?
Hey, I'm up for it. I hope that I can help some other people, yeah.
Of course you can. So you seem to have a fantastic attitude to learning, and that is ongoing. And that's really what I want to get to the crux of today. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your professional background. I know very little, really, to be honest, about that side of you. If you care to share, you know, where you've come from in that capacity, and a little bit about, you know, where you are at on your property journey, that'd be wonderful.
Sure. So I have an education background. So I was a teacher for 7 years. But I think Jason was a teacher too, actually. I read that the other day. Look, you know, after being in education all my life, I felt like I didn't know anything and I really wanted to explore the business world. And so I moved into media sales, which actually was an accident, but it was an accident that I think must have been meant to happen, because it's a very creative space where I'm working with marketing programs and integration of media programs for my clients who purchase that from me. So I'm selling, I'm head of brand partnerships now, actually. That's what I do. And I've been doing that for the 27 years. So teaching was a really great entry into that business. And I always thought that being in sales was the closest thing to having my own business without actually having a business. And I treat it as such, and it's very creative and I really love it, but it's also very, very challenging. Mark Boris, I was listening to Mark Boris yesterday, and he was saying, you know, business is the hardest thing you'll ever do, right? And I just chuckled to myself and thought, yeah, well, I'm as close to that without actually having one. And yeah, it's very, very challenging, but also very rewarding if you're working with a product that you have passion about and that you're aligned with your strengths and your values. So, I'm in partnerships in media.
So now I know that a bit more in depth about what you do for work, I can totally see how you've brought that that tenacity, that that real lust for learning, for improvement, consistent improvement into your property journey world. I can totally see that now. Makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
So back in 2014, when you come along, and I believe you came through to find Positive Real Estate, the normal channels, which is attending a bit of a presentation and finding out a little bit more about what we do. Take me back to that time. What prompted you to join?
Wow. You know, it's interesting because I've never felt so proud of that as I am right now in this interview with you, because taking myself back into that time, I remember it so clearly. I'd been researching. I knew I wanted to be in property. I had been interested in it for a very long time before I actually jumped ahead. And I was in England for a few years, and I was even researching this market from England. Had no idea what I was doing, but I was trying to buy a property. And anyway, it didn't work out, but I got back to Australia in 2012, I think it was, and I was determined to get on the property ladder. Obviously, I've got my own home, and that was rented out while I was in England. But I was determined because I just had been wanting to do it for so long, and I was trying to do it from England, and I couldn't do it from England. And I got home and went, oh, my God, I've got to do this. So I started researching and looking at different companies, went to different meetings, and I came across Positive Real Estate, looked into it, and went along to the meeting. I was really impressed with the knowledge that was imparted at that meeting, and the facilitator at the time spoke to me afterwards because I had a lot of questions. and I just joined up. I just knew I had to impart that membership fee. I did not think twice about it. I just knew, because I'd already bought a property, you see. I forgot to mention that.
Right.
And I knew that to buy a second property, I just felt like I wasn't equipped. Like, I probably wasn't equipped to buy the first one, although I actually did a very good job of it, to be honest with you, because it ended up that property was a property that Pre was selling too, which I didn't know until I joined Pre, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I did really well. But going to the next step, buying my second property, I really felt that I needed more help. And so I just didn't think twice. And that money that I invested in my pre-membership paid me back big time, because I had no idea how to set my finances up for buying property. And I was just going to go to the bank and get a loan. And I had no idea about equity in my home, right? I had no idea to set that and to use that. So that for me was the biggest takeout from joining in the first year, because I got my money back big time because of the mistakes I would have made if I had have just gone off to the bank and got a loan.
Wow. So presumably you went through a broker for the initial loan when you joined up?
I went through Pre, because what happened was in 2012, after I returned from the UK, did some research, found this fantastic property in Tenerife by a developer called Damien Cavallucci. Oh, my God, beautiful
which
man.
Which you still have today.
Oh, I love him dearly. And and
Cavcorp.
I bought
the company, correct?
Cavcorp,
yep,
correct.
We still have dealings with them now.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could buy another one. Anyway, I actually purchased that through, someone someone had been talking to me, right? A selling, a sales company, right? And I'd researched as best as I could possibly do with the knowledge that I did not have. And, you know, it was in Tenerife. I knew Tenerife was great. I learned about the developer. I learned about the property. I bought the bottom apartment with a courtyard, and I had 2 years to settle. And in that time, I lost my job. It took me 18 months to find a new one. So I'd been doing all this contract work for all kinds of organisations in the marketing and PR area. And funny enough, I mean, I was starting to panic because I had to settle in about 7 months and I still didn't have a full-time job.
Oh my goodness, and stressful.
I then accepted a role that was offered to me on much less money than I wanted or deserved, but I'm actually still with that company 9 years later and I've developed a fantastic career with them and earn a lot more money now. But I accepted the job, didn't really want it at the time. However, it ends up being something I'm beautifully aligned with. Got the job and I settled on the property literally within 1 week of my probationary period coming to an end, and somehow the bank gave me the money, but that was through Pre. So I got the finance through Pre, who were able to somehow get me through because the bank was saying, we're not even through your probationary period yet. So, but somehow Pre managed to get it across the line within like a week or something ridiculous.
Wow, I didn't know that either. I'm learning new things about you all the time.
Well,
that would have been very hairy.
Well, if you said before, what's weird, what's one thing that weird that's happened to you? Well, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Yeah.
About living on
yeah. So it was meant to be.
So, yeah, it was meant to be. And look, even if I hadn't have joined Pre, and if I hadn't have joined Pre and I tried to navigate that process of finally getting a job but not being out of probation and trying to satisfy the bank, oh, I've just thought of it now. That could have been a huge deterrent and I may not have even started the process. Anyway.
Yeah. It's interesting when you think back, isn't it? The pivotal parts of your journey that consequently probably have led you to where you are today. But at the time, you don't realise quite how pivotal it was.
Amazing.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I know you dearly love that property. So thank goodness you got it.
Oh, thank you. And Damien was beautiful. I actually went up there after I'd bought the property. He didn't even have to do this because I'd already bought the property. But I went up there to visit and he personally met me at the property and he drove me around Tenerife and New Farm and gave me all the history of the area.
Wow, this is the developer.
Yeah.
He personally met you after settlement, did you say?
Yeah. No, before settlement. I went up there to visit the area and visit the site and all of that. And he personally picked me up with his cohort, whoever that was at the time. He sits on the body corp of all his properties. So any Cavallucci property that you buy, Damien Cavallucci's name is still attached to the life of that property. And I really admired that. So I knew that he cared so much about his developments that he wanted to be all over them at all times.
Yeah. It's quite comforting as an investor when you're buying into somebody who has that much passion and, you know, protection over their own brand, you know, you're in a good place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am so thankful and I was so lucky that I chose that as my first property and I hadn't even joined Pre.
Awesome. So it sounds like you had a few lessons that you learned, particularly in that experience that you've just shared. Is there any other lessons that you feel like you've acquired along the way that you'd like to share?
Oh, look, I think just making sure that you have a coach, because I was lucky with my first property. But then to get my second property, I really just did not know how to go about doing that in a strategic way. And so I was able to work with my coaches, and James is still with the organisation. He was just beautiful, and we started working on my second property, which is actually in Morningside. But there were a couple of issues towards the end of the development that posed nothing wrong with anybody. I've forgotten what it was now, but there was something legal that happened and no fault of anybody's, but there was going to be this huge delay. And I sort of felt like I was taking a bit of a risk. So I just, or a bit more of a risk for me to be comfortable with. So I actually pulled out of that and I bought a property, a townhouse in Bridgman Downs. And I remember at the time thinking, you know, I was being sort of, you know, coached and talked around. Morningside is just an incredible area. Like, my God, you yep. want to be in Morningside. However, Bridgman Downs is a completely different setup. It's a townhouse in that 15K ring.
Middle ring, so, yeah, as opposed to inner, yeah.
Townhouse, correct. So I've got a townhouse which is performing very, very well. And in hindsight, Vicky Hines.
I love the way you said that.
I'm talking hindsight, right?
Ah, very good.
That decision probably was a good one for me because financially, doing this by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think that was the right decision because it was a very much more expensive property. And if I kind of look at where we currently are in the market, to be honest with you, I would be really struggling to service that property because of the interest rates. Yeah. I'm sort of just managing now with the current situation. And
your portfolio's all principal and interest now, correct?
They are all now.
You're in consolidation phase, which is a little bit different. And when interest rates are a little bit higher in consolidation phase, it cannot be, it sometimes isn't as cash flow friendly as we would like, but because we're choosing to pay down some of the debt.
Yeah, correct? But and also not just the interest, but you're paying principal too. So,
of course.
So I think that, and I wouldn't have been able to refinance to continue interest only with the current situation being single, sort of, you know, I can't go beyond any more financing than what I have right now. So that would have posed quite a serious issue for me in this very moment if I had have gone along. So even though, you know, capital growth wise, it would have been incredible in the future, I'm still doing pretty well with what I've got. And so it's a kind of matter of, hey, be happy with what you've got because it's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. Yeah.
I think one lesson I try and teach as a coach, having been in investing for 20 years myself, I know that quite a few properties in my portfolio, I wouldn't service. I would not be able to buy them today. So my motto has always been, since I've learned this lesson, buy the best real estate that you can when you can. As in, if you've got the opportunity to buy a better quality piece of real estate as opposed to a cheaper one, which you're going for because perhaps you've got fear get the better of you and you're going for something a little bit cheaper because you feel more comfortable with that debt level, that necessarily isn't the right decision for a capital growth perspective. Along the way, you could have got a much better performing property if you had taken the opportunity to buy that property and take the higher loan when the bank decides that they will lend it to you. Whereas, as you know, that isn't always the case. We go through different finance cycles and we can't always buy what we want to buy. And that's something exactly what you were referring to. And I really resonate that with personally.
Thank you. Yeah. We've got to use our head a little bit sometimes just for perspective. And an optimistic lens, I like to say, where we should think positively, but also be aware of where the pitfalls are and the risks are, make sure that you can manage them.
Absolutely. Now you do that beautifully, which brings me to my next question around, you know, how awesome you are with reducing debt. You're not just a passive investor, are you? You're very active in paying down debt to build equity that way. Let the market do its thing, but you certainly do all you can. Now share with us your story about paying down some debt over the last, 7 years or so?
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it's really nice to hear that because not many people actually know. And it's one thing about the beauty of the relationship with Pre is that everyone gets it. And Vicky, you know, to know that I can just have a chat with you once every couple of months or whatever, it's just a great connection to have and a real good support. So, yeah, I had an offset from my loan. This is what Pre taught me when I very first joined. I sat down with my coach and she said, right, this is your plan, three properties, bang, 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 you're going to draw down 300K from your home and you're going to buy three properties and do. I went, okay. So I drew down 300K of equity from my house with my home loan. And I then, over the next 3 years, bought three properties.
Wow. And you were very coachable.
Oh, I just wanted to get out there and get the job done. Really mm-hmm. wanted to get those properties purchased as quickly as I possibly could. I did that. And then, so $289,000 of equity drawn down. And I did the tax variation. Mm-hmm. I had three properties with amazing, you know, 10K a year depreciation.
So can I just clarify what you mean by tax variation for some people that aren't familiar with the term?
Do you mind? Sure. Well, I've only just done it again, actually. I didn't do it for a couple of years, but I just got my rather than getting a lump sum at the end of the tax year, I had my tax varied through the year. So my accountant assessed my taxable income and what I should be paying and reduced it down to about 10 or 12% tax, so that I received that differential in my fortnightly pay, which, to be honest with you, you've got more cash in your pocket to service your properties. But at that time, we had interest rates at 1.92% or whatever they were, right? Mm. And I was actually pretty much neutral or even positive anyway for a lot of that time in those first few years. So that extra cash, as Jason would say, you do not spend that on yourself. Of course you deserve a holiday once a year. However, I just kept banking it in my equity loan. And so I now have $310,000 against that. So I've actually got about 20 grand savings in it, actually. I've got a monthly budget on a spreadsheet and I reconcile it every single month and I know exactly how much money I have. And I just was diligent about that. But it wasn't hard. I just do it because I'm interested in my money, right?
Yeah. Have you always done that or only since investing?
No, since the day I left home. Yeah, always been. I think, you know, I left home when I was 18 and put myself through university and I had to be very diligent about my finances from mm-hmm. an early age. I've carried that through my life.
Wow. Certainly has paid off. There's not many people that can boast paying off $289,000 in 7 years. So total cash.
I'm like, oh, wow. It did seem hard. I still have a holiday every year. But, you know, I don't buy things unnecessarily. I eat good food. You know, I'll buy clothes when I need them and I don't buy crap. I go to TK Maxx and buy a designer label from Europe at 50% off. Right? But, you know, I live a quality life, but I just don't, I'm not extravagant.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a bit about what you've done recently. I know off camera you were telling me you'd been on the phone to the bank recently to negotiate some rates perhaps.
Yeah, so I sort of, you know, been in this sort of, you know, mindset of, you know, refinancing. We've all felt the pressure of the interest rates and we've all, you know, as much as we have really healthy mindsets, and I'm a life coach as well, so I work very hard on my mindset. I was finding myself panicking, but I think it's a normal thing to feel that way and I don't think we should, you know, deny ourselves that. I think we need to feel that. And then we just need to work out how to solve it and move out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that I was panicking and thinking, oh, my God, I need to refinance. I'm talking to them and I'm thinking, oh, what should I do and blah, blah, blah. And then I kind of went, oh, just calm the farm a little bit here. Just calm the farm. Jason was talking about get on the phone because I listen to Jason's coffee chats most days of the week as well.
Yep.
Usually at the gym later, but, you know, it doesn't matter. And, you know, he's always saying, talk to your banks, get them to, you know, you can be like, you know, how Jason talks. Anyway, I got 6.14% with two of my loans and one of them, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, I won't say.
The bank?
Bank?
You can say the bank.
Okay. So two of my loans are with NAB and ChoiceLend.
Mm-hmm.
end up, they're both on 6.14. And then the other loan was Resimac, which have been the most unflexible. Mm-hmm. And I've put the pressure on them the last couple of weeks and asked the question again and told them I'm getting 6.14%. And they challenged it and said, oh, that's an owner-occupier rate. And I went back and I said, it is not, and sent them the letters, my confirmations from the ChoiceLend and NAB saying this will be your rate. And over three email conversations, I got them down from 6.9 to 6.14.
Amazing.
Exactly. So now I'm the same interest rate on all three banks. Yep. I don't need to worry about going to get refinancing right now. I'm just going to sit a bit now and I'll worry about it next year and look at what's going on next year.
That is an amazing story that it took a bit of tenacity to keep on at them and show them proof that you were able to negotiate with other banks. And they actually came to the party. I mean, to be honest, I'm a little bit surprised that First Mac did, because my experience, perhaps I haven't been as tenacious as you, Tracy. Perhaps I need to try what you did. But everybody listening, take note. First Mac, if you try once, that's not enough. Keep going.
I think they must be under pressure because I think that they're losing business. That's my gut feeling. But, you know, it's because if I didn't have Jason, you know, barking at us every day. I love you, Jason, if you hear this. I love you dearly. you know, it gets in your head and you start to realise, hey, you do have some control. They can't intimidate you.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. That's exactly why I wanted to talk with you, because 10 years in nearly, you are still listening to Jason Witten every single morning, and it's having an effect on your consolidation phase because you're able to renegotiate with confidence. You know your own mind, you know your stance, you know what you're really entitled to. They should be coming to the party, and you've got on the phone and done the business. Whereas people that don't tend to put in as much time as you, Tracy, one thing I've noticed, they tend to drift away. They lose, the active part of being an investor. And that's where the magic happens. It's the little 1% things that you can improve on.
And I'm so proud to be in the 1% club. So proud.
The 1% club, three properties or more, 1% of the population.
I'd love to have 7 or 8, and Jason always tries to talk about 5, 6, 7, you know, but, hey, folks, I've got 3 and a home, and I'm very proud I'm in 1% club.
Yeah, well, we've worked through your portfolio. Now you're in consolidation phase. I know we've had several meetings together, and I know that you love your job, so you're not in any hurry to retire yourself, but we have had a bit of an insight into the next 10 years or so, haven't we, to see what kind of income you potentially could be living on. So you're very much planning for the future whilst living for today, which is a great place to be. Yeah, and you're looking pretty good.
Oh, thanks, Vic. Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm always interested in business. I don't have a business and I'm always interested in business opportunities and different ways to make money. And no hurry at all. I feel very grateful that I have something set up that will be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So let me ask you, what do your friends and family think about your investment decisions?
Well, I don't like to say too much because I don't want to come across as bragging or, you know.
That tall poppy syndrome that exists.
But my closest friends know I have property and they're very admirable of that. Mm-hmm. And you know, when it is mentioned, which is not very often, but when it does come up, I'm always sort of putting it back to them and saying, we can all do it guys. Mm-hmm. I'm nothing special. I'm lucky that I have the guidance of Pre to help me. But I think some people might think that, you know, you must be in some cult or something, or, you know, not cult, but you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Like, sometimes you say, oh, you know, my positive real estate membership, you know, people sort of are cynical about organisations or you know, all when you sort of get asked questions, sometimes it's hard to answer.
Mm.
Like talking to you today, things just sort of roll off, right? But when you try to have that conversation with someone that's not in it, it's very hard because you're mindful that they don't have the knowledge that I'm lucky enough to have. But when you sort of try to say, well, this is an organisation that helps you develop, you know, wealth through property investment, I find that you come across cynicism, and I don't know why. I don't know why. But anyway, so, however, my friends are all very, you know, proud of what I'm doing. My family, well, that's another thing, and I'm sure that we all have this, right? My family know I have property, but I don't talk about it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was to come up in conversation, I would talk about it, but I'll talk about it briefly because I don't want to intimidate anyone in my family. But at the same time, I've spoken to one of my brothers about, you know, using coaching and pre to, if he wants to move into property in the future. I think the biggest challenge for me is actually getting my daughter on the map. And she's a pre-member, but she's just not there. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a journey to go. And part of my journey over the next few years, pardon me, and I do ask Jason to do a workshop on this, on helping our kids get into the property market, is I want to gift her something as an only child, and I mm-hmm. want to save to secretly surprise her with some cash to help her with her savings, along with her savings, to get into a property.
Mm, that's your number one goal.
Yeah, and I've said to her, you know, her dad's, you know, been sending her properties to look at, you know, secondhand apartments in wherever. And I said to her, Jen, buy a brand new property. Do not buy a secondhand property if you're rent vesting, because she's rent vesting.
Right. Yeah.
Or she's renting, but she realizes that she should perhaps buy an investment property. But she's listening to her dad who's, you know, saying, oh, go buy that apartment in that suburb, whatever. And I said, Jenna, do not do one thing until you sit down with Vicky and get a strategy in place, and you buy a brand new property. That's the first thing I'm going to say to you, is buy a brand new property.
But depreciation. I think sitting down when I meet with Jenna, I'd love to go through a hypothetical property that she's looking at in the secondhand world and just have a look at the cash flow versus a new one. I think for most people, that's the eye-opener that they need. More than happy to do that, because the lack of depreciation generally equates to more hemorrhaging cash flow at this stage when we're in high interest rates, or sort of high interest rates where they're not low. That it normally speaks for itself. So I'm more than happy to do that and keep it, you know, basic.
Well, it's getting you there. And it's so interesting because, you know, you'd think, oh, well, you know, your mum's got property, you know, you'd listen to her and whatever. But in some ways I think that she might feel intimidated too. You know, maybe she feels like she should know more than what she does, or she should be at this point, you know. Mm. But anyway, look, it's a journey and we'll get there eventually. But on the quiet, I'm just quietly saving some money. My only daughter, I want to give her something. I mean, we're only 22 years apart. So when I, you know, go to heaven, when I'm 85 or 90 or whatever it is, she'll be 70 years of age or 65. She won't need my money, right, because she shouldn't have her own. So I want to help her now. I want to help her now. Yeah. And I'm just saving over the next couple of years. Put the money in one of the loans and build that, but I'll draw down from it and give her a nice little surprise to help her get into her first property.
She's a very lucky girl.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think it's the least I can do. I mean, we all want to help our kids, and they, you know, they've got to learn. They've got to learn their lessons, and they've got to do the hard yards. There's just no getting out of that. But at the same time, you know, a little bit of a helping hand.
Mm.
It's kind and compassionate, and I never had any of that when I was growing up. But why should she, you know, not have some kind of, you know, compassion and love and kindness?
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do it that hard.
Mm-hmm. We'll get her there.
Thanks,
Bea. Have a conversation. There's so much I really want to ask you, but I'm limited for time, so I'm going to keep it pretty general. So obviously you've joined us 9 and a bit years ago. Did you have any previous history with property prior to that? You had your home. Was that it? Mm. That was it, yeah?
Yeah, it was. But I'd been researching for a long time, and I had a very deep interest in getting into property. And I'd even influenced two other people that before I did, who both got into property themselves, but I was still lagging behind because I wasn't able to get into property, although I believed that I wanted to and I should have. So I was in the UK. As I said, I got married and went to the UK for a few years and was still trying to buy a property in Australia. And anyway, that all fell apart and I came back to Melbourne, and it was just my priority. As soon as I got back to Melbourne, as soon as I could, I wanted to buy a property.
Do you mind me asking, perhaps I shouldn't ask you this because I don't want you to give your age away with that. But I just wanted to know, you know, what age did you begin this journey to have such an awesome result, if that's all right?
Okay, so what, 2012, I purchased Tenerife. So that was 11 years ago. So I was 46 years of age.
There you go, 46 years.
Yes, I was older, right? That was older.
Yep. Yeah. Never too late, clearly.
No. No.
Absolutely not. Some people I talk to are 40. I think they've missed the boat. what would you say to that?
No, not at all. The only thing stopping me from getting a property now, and I'm 57, and I don't mind saying so, is finance. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing stopping me. But I will do some JVs and other things in the meantime to grow some more cash.
Some joint ventures. Yeah, with PRM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got no intention of going anywhere else. So, yeah, because I can, I can make 10 or 15K out of just doing nothing for 12 months. And it goes straight into your offset.
So they're a great way if you can't borrow any more money. Many people who are at the phase of investing that you're at, or even if they're still in an acquisition, but have hit a bit of a brick wall, like we all do at some stage, we have to step out of the acquisition mode for a moment. A lot of people will get involved in joint ventures, and you did one a couple of years ago now, was it?
In Wynnum, and it was absolutely
Wynnum in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a really high return. It was about 24%. And so
over
after
what period?
2 years. I think it was 2.5 in the end. A bit less, but so after I paid my interest and everything, I think it was about, I don't know, maybe 16K or 17K or something. Well, no, it might have been 18K, and then I had to pay some tax, of course. So I ended up with about 12-14K out of that. And, that's a pretty good return when you're doing nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit, without going into too much detail, somebody listening to this might not have a clue what a joint venture is. Was this land acquisition that you was participating in the investment of to build dwellings on the land?
Yeah, it was. It was a land development. It did have dwellings that could have been part of the deal, but I just stuck with the buying into the land development, and they subdivided that land, and that had to go through a process. So I just bought into that, and then they sold the land and house developments on, of course, and then we all made a profit out of that. I was able to use the equity from the house. So I had enough equity to be able to draw that back for 2 years, mm-hmm. and just paying interest on that one. And I've got enough equity now to do that again a couple of times. So I'm just waiting for what's the gentleman's name in our group that does all the JVs? Who's that?
Brennan.
I'm just waiting for Brennan to push a few things out so I can jump on one. Yeah.
Oh, he's working through it diligently. Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome. And that's, that's real evidence that you're always pushing for what you can do. You're not just sitting back. You're going, right, joint venture, I might not be able to borrow for a property, but I can do this and I can make money that way. Which, that's what it's about. You do it beautifully.
<Thank you. laughs>
So you started at 46, which you just shared with us. What would your advice be to your younger self?
Oh, look, if I had the chance to do it earlier, I would have. I bought my home when I was 32, so I wasn't that young either. Well, I guess in today's world, it's probably young. I bought my first home by myself with my daughter. I couldn't borrow one more dollar for this property. And it was $165,000 for a three-bedroom townhouse, brand new, in a frame. I didn't even know what it was going to look like, but I just bought it because I couldn't buy anything. And at the same time, there was another beautiful development happening a couple of doors down, and that was the same, about 165K, and I really wanted to buy one as an investment property, and I just wish I had of, you know, pushed the boundaries and worked out a way to have done that, because now that'd be worth about $1.5 million at 165K purchase.
25 years ago.
Yep.
Wow. Listen, that's amazing. What a return.
I know. Absolutely. My daughter, says to me, oh, Mum, you bought this for 165K, you know, 25 years ago. You know, it's very different now. We can't buy anything under 500 and all of this, you know. We have a conversation around that. But there was an obstacle at the time. And I just think that if I, my younger self would have been just go out there, find a way to make it happen and do it with the right people, and positive real estate are that. And I'm not here to sell it, but I do believe that I could not have done what I did without pre.
So, well, you've kind of answered this, but I would like to perhaps cast your mind to perhaps being in another body and somebody that was a little bit more fearful than you, because you've lost a lot of your fear, as we all have, through education and acquiring that consistent knowledge is what really eliminates fear and gives us the confidence to move forward with property. So my question to you would be, what would your advice be to somebody that is letting fear get a grip on them to prevent them from moving forward? Have you got any words of wisdom for those people?
I think having someone beside you really helps with that. I remember back to when I was looking at buying Morningside, and I had James and another coach really walking beside me in that mental journey, to be there to answer questions, to be there to, you know, to help move through that, because we can't do it on our own all the time, and we are only human. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the benefits of being with pre, is that you've got that support, because to try to do it by yourself isn't always going to work out well. I think fear, it's a natural thing, it's a normal thing, it's a good thing.
Absolutely. Being able to talk through your fears is quite often all you need, I have found personally. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you book in with me, sometimes I feel just talking through things, you go away from the meeting feeling like, oh, I've talked this through, and I know what I'm doing now, and you've got clarity, and you've lost a bit of that, you know, should I, shouldn't I? Tell me if I'm wrong. Is that what you get from it?
No, it's so true. You need someone, you need a partner, and pre does that for you with your coach. So, I need it. I need it now, even. Like, I need it now. Book in and, hey, Vic, you know, this is my issue right now, blah, blah, financing or whatever it might be. We chat through. We're your financial planner. Yeah.
So you, other people on your team that you've brought onto your team over time as your journey has unfolded, people like your financial planner, for instance, I know you've certainly made use of the different team members that PRE have on board, such as financial planning. People sometimes overlook that you need people at different stages of your journey. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think that goes back to actually to the question you asked before about what would you tell your younger self?
Mm-hmm.
I would tell my younger self to get a financial planner early in life.
Mm.
Definitely. So I saw Anthony, he's amazing. Only last year, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, why did I leave this so late? And thankfully he set up a plan, you know, with my super and with my properties, and, you know, I'll touch base with him every now and again and just sort of, you know, we'll maneuver it, we'll work it when I get towards retirement to make it work, you know, effectively from a tax point of view and et cetera, et cetera. But I would definitely say to anybody, even in their 20s, but in your 30s, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't even know if what I'm saying is correct. But I would think, see a financial planner before you start anything to kind of go, well, what do I want to achieve? What do I want to live on when I'm retired? I want to live on 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand. What is it that I want when I retire? And then go backwards. And then you can start building your property portfolio and maybe other things to help you achieve that with a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about having a clear plan, a strategy over the next, whatever it might be, 5 to 7 years to buy property, ideally. Obviously, it doesn't always go to plan, but knowing what you're aiming for, what's the next step that you're striving for, which I know you've done beautifully over the years, and now you're into debt reduction phase and making the most of, you know, the little 1% is just like jumping on the phone to the bank. There's always something to do. I recognize that you see that so much. How can you improve? What can you do today for your portfolio that is going to help you in the future, whether it be with helping your daughter with a deposit or whether it be with your eventual retirement? And I get from you that you love the journey. You actually love this stuff. Well,
yeah, I stay on top of it, and I've got really good, spreadsheets and so forth with my record keeping, with my, day-to-day property management. Mm-hmm. I don't get sophisticated, for example, watching any of Jason's charts and things and all the spreadsheets with the numbers here and the numbers there, folks. I'm lost.
I've got a great impression of Jason. I'm sure you're lost. Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely lost. And so I just stick to pretty basic spreadsheets that gets me through, so it's fine.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation. I'm sure many people have taken a huge amount from what you've shared with us today. Thank you for your honesty and sharing with, you know, some of the lessons that you've learned and some of the things that you're still doing. I know lots of people that I coach are certainly going to get lots of value from it. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we finish the conversation today?
No, just get in there and do it, guys. You've just got a great team around you to support you all the way through, and even when you stop buying property, they're there like you are right now, Vic. So I'm just really grateful to be part of this team.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a great conversation. Thank you, Tracy. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback, and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care, happy investing, and bye for now.